Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every week, every game from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the Round 16 preview. We're off the back of an Origin weekend where there was no NRL. And instead of Origin, we all know how it played out. But from my point of view, I just shared one tip and we fell short in that one. We needed three tries from three different try scorers out of a group of five. Kind of same story as Origin 1, where we had two of the tries we needed in the first half hour, and then we went the rest of the game and just couldn't get that third try scored by a group of players we were relying on. Didn't get there. I've included that loss in the stats that you see in the description for this video, so that's another loss of 100. But still, if you'd had 100 on every best bet, every mixed matchup, and each of my Origin tips, you're up 2,400, just a little bit over that in profit this season, plus 6 units in multis. And as I say, the best bets were 68% with 39 and 18. So I recapped Origin 2 live, like minutes after the match. Feel free to go back and find that on your Facebook, YouTube, or pod feed if you haven't listened to that. There's been a couple of developments, a couple of bits and pieces of news that have come through that I will touch on before I get into the games. But you guys want to hear about the best bets. So again, the way I do this pod is I break down every game. I probably spend 2 to 3 minutes per game and I try and talk about every factor that I think a punter should consider. But I know that some people are too busy for that. So what I try and do with my opening 5 minutes is treat it as if I'm talking to you at the pub and you ask me what's my bet. And I just want to share what my bet's about. I'm not going to tell you about a game for 2 or 3 minutes. Just my 30-second summary of why I'm taking a pick, the main reason. So I have 5 best bets for round 16. And here they are. We begin with the Thursday night opener. And my best bet is Roosters plus 6.5 in the first half. That's $1.81 on Top Sport and Unibet. The screenshot you'll see is with a topped up price on Toppy. But basically, Teddy has been named for this one. After a man of the match performance in Origin, I actually doubt he'll play, but it's possible he plays. Either way, if Teddy's out, I like Suali and I like Manu, what he offers at fullback as well. And with Papi still out for the Storm, I would argue the Roosters have stronger outside backs than the Storm. That's despite the fact that the Storm are setting a record pace for point scoring this year. One of the reasons Storm is so dominant as well is that their forwards lay the foundation. They've got a phenomenal forward pack, but the late mail today does suggest one or two Origin forwards such as Welsh, Kalfusi may rest for this one. Let's not forget, Origin was Sunday night. This is a Thursday game. And a team like the Storm doesn't need to burn out their players. They've got their eyes on the ultimate prize. The Roosters pack gets strengthened with the return of Tupanua. Crichton has recently returned. Sam Walker will be back in this one. You know the history of these two teams. They often play close. And look, you might say it's dangerous going against the Storm. Last time they played, they were up 40-0 at halftime. But I just feel this line's too high, and I'm going to continue my belief of taking an underdog with the first half line to protect against any blowout if there is a late blowout. My next best bet is Parramatta plus 7.5 at $1.80 on Bet365, and they are at Penrith. As we know, we all know Cleary is out. All the other Origin reps for Penrith have been named to play. But again, Penrith are in a similar situation to the Storm. They don't have to play, so it's no certainty that they're all going to back up on a short turnaround. They've got the luxury of not only depth, but ladder position, as do Melbourne. Parramatta's close to full strength. Of course, Reid Marnie is still out, and he has a big loss. But across the board, I think that they are still a really strong outfit that can make a statement here about what they can do in 2021. They seem to be the team that nobody gives a real chance. A guy like Mitch Moses, this is a huge game for him. This now could be an Origin audition. And the other thing that I just maybe have to play this game, I was willing to pass it, but every bookie has this line under 6. So your eyebrows might have raised when I said plus 7.5. That is the alt line on Bet365. So that's, you're paying 10 cents to get through the number of 6. And actually plus 7.5 was the same price as plus 6.5. So for me, then I said, I got to take it. Even though I've missed the best number, this line was as much as 10 earlier in the week. But I'm still willing to take it with the Eels. Panthers are at home, but it's going to be an empty stadium. I think Panthers will play bloody well, but I think the Eels can match them, win or go close in this one, so I'll take the plus 7.5. Moving to Saturday, I'm taking the Bulldogs plus 12.5 points in the first half, which is $1.88 on Ladbrokes and Neds. That's against Manly. We've got a team in Manly that some of you might say could win the comp, and I can't disagree that, you know, maybe they are a smoky that could win the comp versus the Dogs that could win the spoon. And again, we're getting our first half underdog where we're going to take, you know, half the full-time line and protect against that blowout. But I'm not playing this bet purely because of that. a big reason as well I like this bet is because you do have DCE and Turbo backing up from Origin, and I don't understand why you would risk Turbo. They can win this one without him, so I think he'll be rested, but at the moment he's listed, so I think we get line value. Now, if Turbo is rested for this, it's self-explanatory. I think even people that hate the Dogs would love plus 12.5 first half if Manly didn't have Turbo. If he plays, I still think we get a fair bet here. I think the Dogs have showed they do have a bit of toughness in periods. Now, I know Canterbury's had their disruptions and do have a few players out this week. I just still don't think they're going to get blown off the park straight away necessarily. I'll grit my teeth and bear it and take them here in the first half, plus 12.5 against Manly. Then we're going another team you're not going to want to be on, but my best bet is Titans plus 4.5 in the first half at $1.80 on Bet365. And they are playing away in Canberra against the Raiders. As I said, I know you're going to cringe hearing that I want to be on the Titans. But as I often say, I think what works for me is finding teams that a lot of others are reluctant to back, because I believe that's where I get extra line value. And in the long run, that really is, it makes a big difference in trying to find profitable plays. Look, the Titans were diabolical in the last half against Manly last time they played, and I can't fully explain what happened there, but they've had 2 weeks to think about that. I am willing to just see what they can do in this one, because I know that they are capable of so much more than what they've shown in 2021, based on the players they have, based on how they finished the year last year. The Raiders have been slightly improving. So as you know, like, that was my one losing best bet in round 15, was on the Raiders. But the thing is, have they really proven to us they should be such a big favourite? I think their only win in the last couple of months has been against the Broncos. So really, this is also me saying Raiders could eke out a win here. But should they be such big favourites? This is also a massive game for who makes the eight. And I think it'll be a tight one personally, but I also think we get even more value taking first half line. If the Titans show up to play and rip in, we'll be a good shot in this one. And finally, I'm taking the Sharks minus 7.5 at $1.90 on Sportsbet. Next best price is $1.82 on Unibet. They are away to the Broncos, so this is the one favourite I'm taking this weekend. I know what I get with Cronulla. They're a squad that, although they've been through a lot of turmoil earlier this year, the squad is bought in, the squad is ripping in together and doing their best to see what they can make of 2021. And they got a quality win against the Cowboys last start. Sean Johnson gets better each and every week. That's resolved goal-kicking dramas as well. Brisbane is the opposite. You don't know what you're getting every week. The halves change every week. Is the squad unified? I don't know. And I feel like minus 7.5 isn't a lot these days. You've got a Sharks team that is currently in the top eight. They're eighth. And of course, the Broncos are 16th. Plus, the Broncos lose to Vita Pangai Jr. and Xavier Coates. Now, yes, Katoni Staggs is back this week, but can you be certain he's going to fire instantly? I'm not sure, and I don't think you can be certain the Broncos will fire. Plus, they're playing at home, but with the COVID scenario, which I'll touch on, and just disillusioned Broncos fans, are they going to have a big crowd behind them? I'm not certain of that either, so I'm willing to take Sharkies minus 7.5. As always, let me know what you guys reckon of my best bets, what your best bets for the weekend are. Don't forget, I've got a mixed matchup to share as well, and I'm going for 6 wins in a row, and they're always at underdog odds on that one. And that market is provided to us by TopSport, and let's shoot to our sponsor section now. Market Watch with Tristan from TopSport with a quick origin wrap on how the punters did, how Cleary's injury affects all the betting markets, and where the action has been for round 16.
Hello, Tripod family. It's Tristan Merlihan here from TopSport. We are on the back of another hiding from Queensland, or for Queensland in the Origin, when New South Wales were way too good. Up at the game, the book was a very big movement in favour of New South Wales, where the line went from 7.5 out to 15.5. One of the biggest moves I've seen in any Origin game in history. The money was one-way traffic for New South Wales, most of the lead-in. There was a little bit of a fight back late for the support for the Maroons once it got to 15.5, but certainly a bad result from our end. There were some big same-game multis as well in play. One of the biggest was New South Wales to win, into Latrell to score, into Turbo to score, and the customer involved there would have been sitting pretty, as that one was pretty much locked in at half-time. So good result there for a couple of players. We obviously ended up on the wrong side of the ledger. The only saving grace was there was a bit of support for the overs, which did soften the blow in some regards. We move on to the next Origin game, Game 3. And we see the line opened up at 19.5 on the back of Cleary out and hurt and out for a number of weeks now. The market has shifted back down to 16.5. So it'll be interesting who comes in to replace him, whether it be Adam Reynolds, Mitch Moses, potentially Matt Burden as a wide option too. So we'll see where that ends up. At the moment, there's been a bit of movement on the back of the Cleary news. The Panthers have drifted substantially for the game this weekend against the Eels. The market's now $1.54 Penrith, $2.50 the Eels. The line's gone from 10.5 into 5.5. All the other Panthers players are on the field, so it looks like they'll all be ready to make amends for their recent poor form without the Origin players, and I'm sure they'll want to demonstrate they're not a one-man band, but time will tell. The minor premiership is flipped on the back of Cleary being out for those 3 to 6 weeks. At the moment, the betting is Melbourne at $1.65, Penrith $2.90. Penrith got in as low as $1.40 at one stage. The Storm were $3.80 only a month ago. So they've moved from $3.80 into $1.65, despite them both being equal ladder leaders. But the loss of Cleary is obviously going to have an effect. We also have new premiership favourites in the Storm. They're now $2.80 favourites, Penrith $3. They got up to $3.20 yesterday when there was rumours that Cleary may have missed the entire season. Back into $3 now, so a slight move. For the games this weekend, the biggest moves so far have been the Storm, 9.5 out to 12.5, as well as the Knights against the Cowboys, where that line's gone from 3.5 out to 6 on the back of Ponga coming back into the side and some Cowboys having to isolate. I hear that the fans are going to pick the mixed matchup this weekend, so best of luck. Jacob's been dominant over the last 5 weeks. It feels a bit like Origin, where it's been unrelenting pressure from you guys. So see if you guys can keep your end of the bargain up, and we'll see how we go. Good luck, and all, as always, gamble responsibly.
Thank you, Tristan. All right, some quick hitters. So Cleary's out for Origin 3. I would pick Mitchell Moses at halfback for the Blues. My reasoning would be that you've got to look to the future. You're going to win the game no matter which pretty much combination you pick. But what if Cleary's not available for a key Origin match next year, the year after? I feel like Mitchell Moses is the key kind of next best seven that New South Wales has. Not to mention, I think he's in favour with Freddie, because a lot of people may forget, Moses played really well for Lebanon in the 2017 World Cup, where Freddie was the coach. And Lebanon performing quite well in that World Cup actually helped Freddie secure his coaching position for the Blues. So I think Mitch Moses would be the way to go. And I think he has been deserving on how he's played, and that Blues backline wouldn't lose a lot if he slotted in there. Shaun Johnson has signed with the Warriors. Now, I'll just put this out there. When I was looking at a little bit of the halfback merry-go-round, you know, like obviously Broncos, Cowboys, Bulldogs, we didn't even know New Zealand was necessarily in the market. I actually wonder, when it's all said and done, so I'm going to come out and say this now, if Brisbane wouldn't have been better trying to throw their hat in the ring and get a guy like Shaun Johnson. He's 60% of the price of an Adam Reynolds. He's younger as well. I think Johnson is a great buy for the Warriors. They're basically getting the same guy that left them 3 years ago, but at a reduced price. And there's probably more promise in the Warriors roster now than there was back then. So that's a win for the Warriors, I say. And that's exciting, because Shaun Johnson should play for the Warriors. It just feels right. And the Mulitalo incident, I talked about that in the Origin recap. But just hearing a little bit more about how the fact that the NRL had registered his last two contracts, which had said he was eligible for Queensland. To me, when it got questioned in the 11th hour, Saturday night, the NRL could have just owned the error and said, hey, we've made an error here. We shouldn't have registered his contracts, but we have. That's our stuff up. It's too late in the piece. New South Wales, if you wanted to appeal this earlier, we could have looked into it, but too late, our fault, and let it play out. The fact that they then just tried to pass the buck and put it back onto Queensland and all the garbage that unfolded was absolutely embarrassing and really heartbreaking for the person, the man, Ronaldo Mulitalo, and his mental health. And, you know, it wouldn't have changed the result or anything like that, but just a bit of a black eye for the game. And that's just my quick opinion on it. I also want to shout out several guys, a bit of a change of gear, but shout out several guys who produce quality tips in the Tripod Punters Tips Forum Facebook groups. Now, if I do say so myself, I'm having an outstanding season of NRL tips. But I have massive respect for anybody who can make a profit punting, because I know how hard it is to do. And the truth is, there are multiple guys in the Tripod group who are sharing tips every single week on the NRL, and they are in profit. And for some guys, sure, you look at their tips and I'm proud to look at their tips and say, I can see there's a bit of inspiration and influence. I mean, and you'd expect that from the Tripod. We've been doing this for 7 years, showing people how you can win. And, you know, I've referenced in the past that I can see people finding winners where they're thinking along similar lines. that have, you know, have been discussed on the pod, and I love that. But there's also other guys coming up with totally unique angles as well. I've shouted out a lot of individuals before. We do a Podfather multi each week where we try and showcase outstanding contributors for the group. I've brought guys onto the pod for a cameo or even a segment or in, you know, an off-season interview. So just in general, I'll shout out the guys. If you're one of those guys putting in the work, you do get recognized by myself and the admin team. And that's just general advice to anyone who follows this pod and likes my tips but wants more, check out the Tripod group. Finally, before I jump into the games, of course, this COVID is just, really kind of scary and sad that this is still has not gone away. It's an additional monkey wrench from a punting perspective. Personally, everyone watching or listening, I hope you are in a, you're safe and well and coping with this situation because it is tough. I hope the pod can provide a little bit of interest for you, and obviously the footy, I hope that every game goes ahead, can provide a little bit of a distraction and entertainment. But I do think the NRL, it's in a dicey situation with all these hot spots and all the government regulations and stuff. So I do think that they will be very strict with their rules and with potentially wiping players out of games. And we've seen news has been breaking today, even with Todd Payton for the Cowboys that I'll touch on. And that, and if that happens with any players implicated across any of these teams, you could have suddenly players or mass players withdrawn from games. And that, as I say, that could be a huge spanner in the works. But it could be in your favor if you've already made a bet, or it could go against you. So not a great deal I can do about it. Just embrace the uncertainty and just do my best with my tips. Let's begin with a bit of a breakdown of Storm Roosters. This game is in Newcastle, so it's COVID affected. The line is plus 12.5, Roosters catching those points. And as I said, my best bet, I will take the Roosters with the plus 6.5 in the first half on Top Sport and Unibet. So Roosters last game, they played against Penrith. They were a bit undermanned for that one. Tupanua Walker didn't play. They're both back, as is Drew Hutchison. He had that nasty injury, but he's back. As I say, Teddy's named. Will he play? We can't be sure. I would lean towards probably not, but I'm still willing to take the Roosters now because I think the uncertainty also plays into our advantage with the Storm. I think has 4 or 5 Origin players that are backing up as well, and they've got 6 reserve spots. So I think there's no certainty that all those Storm stars are going to play just because they're named. Now, in terms of the Storm, of course, last time they did play, they won 66-16, and at one stage were up 60-0. They've lost Harry Grant since then. They've lost Big Nelson. Still no Puppy, as I referenced, but they do get back Jesse and Kenny Bromwich, and the Origin stars, depending on who does back up. So again, it's a bit of a guessing game, but I think all in all, it's going to be a strong Storm side, but maybe not full strength. There's a bit of a story going around that Roosters can't beat any of the big four, like Penrith, Storm, Eels, Bunnies. They haven't beaten any of those sides in over a year. But in the last year, the Roosters have been very depleted. I don't think that says that the Roosters are clearly like having a fall from grace. I still kind of know I'm getting a pretty solid footy team when I back the Roosters. And look, while the Storm has been so incredibly dominant in attack this year, I think it starts with, do they dominate the forward battle? And as I mentioned, with a couple of those rep stars potentially not backing up, and just in general, my respect that I have for the Roosters forward pack, I don't necessarily think the Storm are just going to dominate in this area of the field. So it's going to go a long way to dictating the result. But if the Roosters pack can match it with the Storm, I think I talked before about how I really like that Roosters back line. Got like guys like Joey Manu, Morris, Tupou, maybe Suwali's in there. They can mix it up with the Storm, and this could be a closer game than the line suggests. And as I said, with my best bet, taking first half, I'm also protecting from if the Storm just grind the Roosters into the dust, a bit like the first time these two teams played. I think it was only like 4-0 at halftime and ended up something like 24-4. I'm just fully saying that off the top of my head. But in that vicinity, it was a close first half down in Melbourne, and then the Storm blew them out. If that was to transpire again, we'd still have a winning best bet. Moving to Friday, the early game is the Warriors hosting the Dragons at Gosford, and the line is -2.5. Dragons are the underdogs, and it's another huge game with top 8 implications. New Zealand, a reminder, are off a tough loss. They lost 10-6 to the Knights in Newcastle, and of course they've lost Walsh because he had that hammy strain at captain's run for State of Origin. Plus, the Warriors lose Ewan Aitken and Josh Curran because of COVID protocol. So there's that COVID rearing its ugly head as well. But the Warriors get back Afoa and Egan, plus a couple of new recruits, Wateni Zelezniak and Townsend, slot straight into the team. And RTS, of course, will play fullback. On the Dragons' equation, side of the equation, Maguire, Dufty, Fuamainu all back. Still no sign of Lomax, not even in the reserves, where he was in the reserves a couple of weeks ago. So maybe a setback there, which is a shame. They also lose, the Dragons lose Ravalawa, Farmasuli. And then they've got three Origin players in Sims, Hunt and McCulloch, who are named, but, you know, you've got to monitor those guys, monitor all Origin stars this week if they're certain, to find out if they're definitely backing up, of course. So that Dragons comeback win, which cost us our one and only losing best bet last round of NRL, I think that was monumental for the Dragons. I talked about a few weeks ago when the Dragons lost that Golden Point game to the Sharks, how devastating it was for them. And I really feel like they didn't fully recover the next week when they played the Tigers. They were well underdone in that one. And that's where a loss can actually cost you points down the line if you can't get over it. Well, I feel like that win over the Raiders, especially coming back from 12 points down, it could be worth more than one win because they gain energy, confidence, belief, and just ladder position that is going to keep this side focused and fighting for the next couple of months because they're well and truly in it. Now, if you look at the ladder, New Zealand only has 5 wins this year and St. George has 7 wins. And I find that kind of a funny one because I think New Zealand has the more talented team. And based on that, I think New Zealand by rights should finish higher than St. George. But right now, it's a 2-win gap in St. George's favour. And I think this match is a good spot for St. George and they could easily win this as an underdog. I have a sense that while New Zealand, with the young talent and, you know, a few new combinations and, of course, a new coach this year, they're a team that will continue to improve through the season. So as I kind of said then, I think New Zealand could ascend and make a run towards the end of the year. Whereas the Dragons, I think, overperformed early this year, maybe, you know, caught a few teams with their pants down, whereas Dragons could fall away because their sights are set on the future. They want to blood a few young players, perhaps. They've got a few key players who they've told are not going to be in the future plans. So I could see the Dragons falling away late, and I could see the Warriors, you know, going on a nice run towards the last month or two of the season. But in this particular game, I don't see it that way. I definitely think the Dragons have a good opportunity here. You got to mention Jack DeBellin. I never expected him to come in and dominate, but he is holding his own out there and he would improve and he, you know, naturally will improve every single week as he gets more matches under his belt after being away from the game for so long. So I would nearly back the Dragons. They would be my lean in this one. And the only reason I won't back the Dragons is because I don't know about the status of those three Origin players. So like, why would I back the Dragons now? And then there's just the chance that they could lose a key player between today and Friday. So, that's, and plus it is a desperation game for New Zealand coming off that, you know, that 2-week break. You've had a tough loss, but you weren't disgraced against Newcastle. And we don't know what they're going to get with the inclusion of Chad Townsend. Now, I'm not a big believer, but we will see. Moving to Friday night game, the main game, the Panthers host the Eels, unfortunately, in an empty stadium. And the line is -5.5. Panthers still favored without Cleary. But as I said, my best bet is Eels +7.5, $1.80 in the 365 alt lines. So the Panthers backline shuffles to where Charlie Staines will play fullback. We see Naden for the first time in 2021 for the Panthers because Edwards is also out with a foot injury. Kikau is back, as is Tyrone May. And as I said, Cleary out as well. And I think Cleary is probably the second most influential player in the comp, you know, behind Turbo. But the difference there would be that the Panthers are fortunate to have a stud that slots in behind him. So not directly, but obviously Burton slots into 5'8", and then Luai can play halfback, play first receiver there. And that's how the Panthers are going to line up in terms of the halves. All the other Panthers Origin players are named, but as I referenced when I talked about why this is the best bet, they're not certainties. And I think this is going to be a cracker of a game. It can go either way, as I said at the top. Now, this line was +10.5 earlier in the week. That was obviously, as we've seen every week that's involved Origin with Penrith, the bookies started the line too high. You look at when they lost to the Tigers, some people got like +13.5 on that game originally. By kickoff, I can't remember, that line was probably like 6.5. And then the same story with the Sharks. The line was double digits and came down and it still wasn't enough of an adjustment. And it could be the same story again here where they've started the line very high because Panthers play has warranted it this year. And I said to myself, I'm not touching this line if I can't get at least a 6. But as it happened, I could still find a 7.5. So for me, no brainer. I had to take Parramatta. You guys know I'm a pretty big believer in Parramatta this year. So, you know, if I'm wrong, this is the kind of game where they can't match it with the Panthers, but I'm willing to back that they will. That's why I've got Parramatta for a best bet. Moving to Saturday, the Dogs host the Seagulls wank best. And the line is 24.5. Of course, the Seagulls are favored. So the big news related to COVID, Dogs are ruled out of this one. Napa, Wakeham, Shoup, Waddell, and Katoa. Realistically, none of these guys like are moving the needle for me in respect to like who their alternative man or next in the depth chart that would replace them would be. But collectively, it's a loss and also a disruption to the team. And we've got to mention that Chotrich, I think is the new pronunciation, and Adam Elliott are both injured, and they are big losses for this team. Corey Allen is back. Consider this. He was the fullback for Queensland in a winning team in a decider only in November. How times have changed. I mean, for Queensland and also for Corey Allen, he has struggled to crack the Dogs team at times this year after playing for a winning Origin side at fullback. Kyle Flanagan is back in the Dogs team, and this is his first game back since he was dropped. But he will play 5/8, which I find a little bit auspicious because he's been signed as a halfback. He's a natural halfback, Flanagan. Avarillo, to me, more naturally could be suited to 5/8. But you wonder, since the Bulldogs know that Burton is coming in to play 5/8 next year, does that mean Avarillo is just getting more reps at halfback because he's more in favour with Baz? Could be the case. But either way, Flanagan gets a huge opportunity for here for his future and to see like whether he can cement his spot in the halves in first grade. But it's a tough opponent to come up against. Now, Manly officially has nobody out, and they've actually added Sully, Cade Carsten, Gajetski to their reserves. Of course, Jake Trbojevic, didn't play their last game. He was ruled out the day before. Turbo, to me, actually looked like he had a bit of a limping game too. So that's why I think there is a real chance that he would rest. I mean, why wouldn't you rest Turbo with the injury history, with the importance, and the fact you know you're going to beat the Dogs with or without him, realistically? Now, if we look back at how these two teams performed in round 15, boy, was it the tale of two halves. We had the Dogs were up 10-6 at halftime against Parramatta, lost 36-10. You had Manly that were down 24-8 to the Titans, 156-24. Now, in both those matches, they were both on Sunday. I had pod best bets on both of them in the first half, and we won them very easily, and we won the mixed matchup as well. Then the second halves unfolded. Luckily, it didn't cost us any money, but it was still pretty crazy to watch. Now, for the Bulldogs, they couldn't hold the ball second half against Parramatta. They barely had the ball. Parra got on a roll. Dogs had a man sent to the bin. I watched the Parramatta beat the Dogs 30-0 in the second half. It made sense as to why that happened. Now, Manly beat the Gold Coast 48-0 in the second half, and the Gold Coast completed at 95%. So I don't have words for what unfolded in that second half. So if these two teams are going to play like they did in the second halves around 15, then Manly's going to win this game by 60. And to be fair, the full-time line for this is close to that. But I would not bet Manly if I was, you know, looking at the slate right now. I would not touch Manly at -24.5, knowing that it would be wise for them to rest Turbo. I think this is going to be an interesting exercise for you guys to do. Look at the line and ask yourself, what do I think of Manly -24.5? And what do I think Turbo is worth? Because I've seen a lot of discussion in the forum. It's been a very interesting topic. How valuable is Turbo? And a lot of people will say he's worth 12 points or more. So then if Turbo does get rested, do you think this line should drop to under 12? And for me, clearly if it did, that would be great for our first half play of +12.5. But ask yourself that question, because what you would adjust the line for is basically saying what you think Turbo is worth in terms of a point spread. Like, you hear people say Turbo's worth 30 or 40 points, but if Turbo was rested, the Bulldogs aren't going to suddenly become favourites for this game. So you can see, like, even though he is super influential, Manly's still a good team without him, I think. And either way, Manly should win the game. But for me, the Dogs could keep it close in the first half. And as I say, I'm rolling the dice of getting possibly a great line in this one if Manly do the right thing and rest their superstar. Moving to the next game on Saturday, the Raiders host the Titans. You've heard my best bet is Titans +4.5 First half, $1.80 on Bet365. You also got to love that it's 3.5 in the first half on every other bookie. And of course, 4 is a very key number for a first half. So we're getting value there for sure. From a Raiders point of view, Croker is back. But based on 2021 form, I'm just not sure how much of a boost that is. Unless he was playing injured, which kind of excuses a bit of his poor form. Whiten and Papali have both been named to back up. And as we get into Saturday and we get into teams that need every win they can get, I now expect all the Origin players should be playing for these teams that are fighting and scrapping to make the 8. I don't put Manly in that category because I think now they've got a good kind of handle on definitely cementing a spot in the top 8, and they've got to actually think of bigger fish to fry, such as, you know, winning finals games. For the Titans, Brimson returns, Thompson is back on the wing, Proctor is back from suspension, and the 3 Queensland forwards that they have are all named. So I already referenced how that game played out between Manly and the Titans. Very happy that my bet won. But for them to dish out that half of football, which has to be one of the worst halves of football I've seen any NRL team play in my life, honestly, 48-0, that has me completely perplexed, really. And I joked in the recap, if I could come up with an explanation, it would be that the Titans were fed sedatives at halftime. I really don't know how else to explain that. Like, you can say, oh, you knew that Manly was going to win easy, but 48-0, that was insane, in a half. So, by a team that didn't drop the ball or anything. So how that happened, I'm still not sure. And you look at the Raiders, it wasn't the magnitude of the Titans collapse, but the Raiders were also leading 18-6. And then conceded the final 3 tries of the match and lost. So both these teams had double-digit leads last time they played and blew those leads. Now, these teams played earlier this year. The Raiders were a 3.5-point favorite on a neutral venue, and I took the Raiders as a best bet, and we did win that. But the Raiders were a bit stronger back then too. They had Nickel Klokstad, they had George Williams. I think Tino wasn't even playing for the Titans. So it feels steep now that this line has been adjusted to -7.5, when in reality, both of these teams have underperformed so far this year. So I think both these teams will be heard from a little bit more this year. I don't think either of them are just going to whimper and fizzle out. I think they're still both teams that believe they can make a surge for the 8. I've referenced in the past few weeks, that the ladder is so bizarre this year that there will be a team or two that makes the finals with a losing record. So that keeps these two teams' hopes alive. And I talked before about how the only win Canberra can hang their hat on in the last couple of months was beating Brisbane. So really, how good is a Canberra? We'll find out here. Now, there is the risk that an Origin player has to be withdrawn, and certainly Brimo has been withdrawn multiple times for the Titans, but I'm willing to take that risk. They do have Jaden Campbell in backup as well for Brimson, in Brimson's case. And as I say, a desperate team, no reason to rest anybody. And a guy like who's been much maligned, like a David Fifita, that could actually be what brings the best out of him. We'll see. Again, I'm willing to take the +4.5 first half with the Titans and find out. Saturday night, the Knights host the Cowboys. And this is a line that is moving because news has come out today. When I'm recording this, some bookies are at 5.5 and some bookies have already moved to 6.5 with the Knights favoured. And the news is that Todd Payton has had contact with COVID, so he has to go into 2 weeks isolation, so he won't be able to coach or travel with the team. And it seemed to be that a couple of players were implicated so far, but they weren't in the 17. But you just wonder what more is going to come out of this once they start doing their contact tracing. So I'm not touching this game for that reason. But it is a huge game again. I think it's going to be a really exciting one on Saturday night because both these teams sit on 6 wins for the competition so far, which is, you know, not a great return so far in 2021, but they're still both, you know, in the hunt for the 8, obviously. Ponga named for Newcastle is the biggest news in terms of player personnel. It is worth mentioning, though, the Knights still missing Bradman Best and Frizzell, both, I think, ankle injuries that have happened recently, and they are big losses. The Cowboys come in unchanged from the side that lost a tight game at home to the Sharks. So the biggest boost, of course, is Kalen Ponga coming to the Knights game. But it still feels close to me. Like, when I look at North Queensland, they've had key players in and out of the team all year as well. Like, Taumalolo's been out in and out for a couple of periods this season. The Hammer, I think, makes a difference. He's come back recently. Murray Tuilagi keeps ascending for me. Drinkwater is fighting hard to hold his position in the halves. And then you got like Valentine Holmes, Kyle Felt, and Francis Molo all trying to shake off a forgettable origin. Just have a sense that the Cowboys would have been primed for a big performance here. Now, what this COVID disruption does is anybody's guess. The other really interesting part of this matchup to me is we've got two reborn halves going head-to-head. You've got Jake Clifford, who's the man that the Cowboys didn't want. And you got Tom Dearden, who is the man that the Broncos didn't want. And now Dearden lines up for the Cowboys. And of course, Clifford has now slotted in at Newcastle. So I have a sense that, you know, without Bradman Best, you look at the outside backs for Newcastle, outside of Ponga, I don't see a lot of strike. Therefore, I don't necessarily think that the Knights will blow the Cowboys away. Where I think the Knights will win this game, if they do win, is in the forwards. Because what I say all the time about the Cowboys is Taumalolo goes off, and then they just don't maintain it. And especially with the Knights having the likes of Connor Watson, David Clemmer, Brody Jones on their bench, that could be where they win the game when these guys come on. If I knew Kalyn Ponga was going to be, you know, fit as a fiddle and come out firing, then I would maybe look at Knights. But without knowing that as well, I actually would lean to the Cowboys. But I would say this as well. I'm not touching it because let's just wait and see who ends up playing for the Cowboys, assuming that everyone's sweet. But if you like the Knights, I would play the -4.5, -5.5. I don't. I'm not saying bet that. But if you like them, I think this line will close above 6. Moving to Sunday, the Broncos host the Sharks at Suncorp. The line on most bookies is -8.5, but I'm getting -$7.5.90 on Sportsbet. And the next best is $1.82 on Unibet. And, you know, just a side note, for those of you who live out of Brisbane, you might get a giggle out of this, but there were radio ads in Brisbane this year before the season with a little jingle to try and get the fans excited again. And it was along the lines, or the song was titled, "This Year We've Got Kevy." And, you know, if you listen to me talk about the Broncos last year and bet against them a lot, I was pretty condemning in my criticism of Seibold and talking about the lack of leadership with that club. And so therefore, I did think Kev Walters coming into Brisbane, if nothing else, you know, I questioned, can he mastermind winning a premiership? That's yet to be seen, but they're so far off that could Kevy steer the ship in the right direction by improving the attitude and pride in the jersey? I thought for sure, but it's just insane to me that you look at Brisbane handed Seibold a 4-year deal and it was effectively terminated within 18 months. Then they signed Kevy Walters to a 4-year deal. The results this year have gotten so grim and they're conceding more points per game than they were last year. That now there's job security questions over Kevy, and he's only been in the job for 6 months. And even to add another wrinkle, which is kind of funny in a kind of macabre way, I mean, Paul Green was the other option, the runner-up candidate, and he's 2 games into his new role, and he's probably on even shakier ground than Kevy. So who would want to be a coach? Obviously, everything I'm saying there just underlines they've got major issues at Red Hill. And I did say after the 2020 season that Brisbane would feel the pain of last year, long beyond 2020, and that's certainly still the case. Now back to this match, Asiata, Carmichael Hunt, Pangai Jr. and Xavier Coates are all out after the 46-point shellacking they copped at home. They do get back Corey Oates, Izako, Croft, and most notably Katoni Staggs is in for Brisbane. The Sharkies, no major changes. Their last win was in Queensland. Mind you, a lot of teams are finding it quite easy to come and win on Queensland soil these days. But still, it was a good win for the Sharkies, who are 8th, Broncos are 16th, which is quite a remarkable rise for Cronulla. A lot of people wrote them off earlier this year. And I alluded to this at the start of the pod. Like, Cronulla have already lost a game this year to the winless Dogs, or the Dogs were winless at the time. It would be so wasteful for them to not get the 2 points against Brisbane and lose to last place again. So I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to be, you know, well and truly up for this one. That's why I'm happy to jump on them for a best bet. I did also mention in the round 15 recap that I thought some teams were starting to look tired, especially teams that by round 15 had not had a bye yet. And that was Brisbane. So if you're going to make the case for Brisbane, you can say the week off might have done them the world of good in terms of freshening them up. They're off a bad loss and they're at home, which sometimes sees a team rebound. But I've talked about how with COVID, Brisbane's currently in a 3-day lockdown. Who knows if that extends or if they make a limit on crowds. So you don't know if you're going to get a full crowd, which is a shame because Brisbane doesn't get many Sunday day games and they would usually get a big crowd. But not only that, who wants to get a ticket to a Broncos game now? The fans are so disillusioned. And on that note as well, another side note, the second Brisbane team that's going to come into the competition and get that 17th NRL license has to be chomping at the bit, because if there was ever a time to convert some fans to a new franchise, they'll be thinking that season can't come quickly enough. But I digress. You look at Brisbane, the only other reason you would back them is if you think Katoni Staggs is going to single-handedly turn the team around. But I also talk about how I'd prefer to wait and see how he goes in this game. So this Sharks team, they're going to do the best they can to get results in 2021. And I think they've got the kind of squad that can overachieve, whereas Brisbane doesn't have a great roster in the first place. And the situation is starting to get so toxic, they seem to be underachieving even on based on the troops they do have. Therefore, I'm on the Sharks, and I'm going to play the Sharks in the mixed matchup as well. My mixed matchup, and as I said, I'm shooting for 6 in a row. I mean, if you multiply the odds of the last 5 weeks that I've won on, you're around 150 to 1. And we'll go again here at $2.15 with the Sharks to score more points than the Raiders. Should be fairly easy to understand why, because I've spoken about how I actually do think the Gold Coast will go down to Canberra in a cold Saturday night game and at least fight them in an important game for both clubs. And then Sharkies play the next day, potentially, you know, sunny afternoon at Suncorp. You've got Sean Johnson in the mix. You've got some exciting outside backs for the Sharkies, and I think that they could have a field day, and they've always got a few points in them, Cronulla. So I like the chances of Cronulla to outscore the Raiders total at $2.15. We do lose if they both score the same number of points, of course, but I still think we're getting good value there at over $2. I expect that to happen, and I expect that we've got a great chance to extend our win streak on that. Now, exciting news, guys, because the mixed matchup has been such a success and you guys are enjoying it, jumping on and making great money, and I think it's a great creative initiative that we've come up with and we've been able to provide for everybody. I've gone a step further, and so I have to thank Tristan. And in Market Watch, Tristan said that you guys are stepping in to pick the mixed matchup. He was actually slightly mistaken when he recorded that, but I've cleared it up with him. I'm still giving you my mixed matchup as usual, so Top Sport, don't get a break. I'm still giving you the best I can come up with. But we're also letting the followers of the Tripod pick a mixed matchup too. If you want to be involved in that, jump in the Tripod group. We've got a post at the moment where people are putting all their suggestions of what they'd like to have a matchup priced at for round 16. We're going to pick the most popular ones. We're going to get them priced as generously as Top Sport will possibly do. And then we're going to put it in a poll. The most popular is going to also be activated, and you can bet my mixed matchup if you like it, Sharks to outscore Raiders, and you can bet the most popular mixed matchup chosen by the Tripod family. So check that out if you're interested. Double the fun this weekend, potentially double the spoils for us. Let's move to the final game of the round. I don't have a best bet, but the Tigers host the Rabbitohs, and the Rabbitohs are a 20.5 point favourite. Now, I've referred to a few teams getting a bit humiliated in round 15, but none was worse than Wests, who lost 66-16 at one stage, were down 60-0. And the funny thing is, they haven't opted for mass changes. To be fair, Madge doesn't have a lot of options. Talau is the most notable change, and they actually get to bring Adam Dewey in to the centres, so arguably strengthen the teams. Sean Bloor has an ankle injury, but has been named. The Rabbitohs' only change from a team that thumped Brisbane is Benji coming back into the side. Congratulations to Benji, because I understand he had a child. And Souths have 5 Origin players. None are on the injury report. They're another team I would suggest have a luxury to rest anyone who doesn't pull up well. But this is a full 7-day turnaround by virtue of being the final game of round 16. So I actually do think that all the Bunnies rep stars should play. And I've said before, I anticipate that the Bunnies are going to be a team that surges towards the finals. As we saw last year, they really improved their form in the back half of the season. And I think that's deliberate from Bennett, the way that he preps and primes his team through a season. Plus the quality of that they have in that roster, I really think their ceiling is something they haven't reached yet. I wouldn't be shocked if a team like South Sydney, when it's all said and done, could still make a grand final. That's how highly I think of them. So I won't be betting against them in this one. If I look at West, something stands out to me. There's just no way this West team is going to beat this Bunnies team twice in a year. And I know what you're thinking. West didn't beat the Bunnies a few weeks ago, but they basically came as close as you possibly can. If you recall, that was the bizarre finish in Golden Point where Tom Burgess slammed down a try, but it looked like he might have lost it. Brooks ran 100 metres the other way. Tigers thought they'd won for a moment. Tigers also led that game by late as well, and really should have won. So how are they going to reproduce that? I think the Bunnies will have learnt their lessons for why the West gave them a scare. And And while it's impossible for West to play any worse than they did 15 days ago, and the week off might just give them a chance to recuperate and get over that humiliation against the Storm, and at Leichhardt, maybe West will lift, I just don't see them standing any chance against Souths. So if anything, I'd probably bet the minus 20 and a half. I've talked about how if I'm self-criticizing of my tips this year, I would have made even more money for you guys if I had backed a few big favorites in games where I felt like the underdog had minimal chance. But my instinct just has not got me over the line. And someone actually commented that I have not taken a single favorite this year that was a favorite of double digits. So the biggest favorite we've laid, I think, was minus 9.5, which was actually Eels against Dragons many weeks ago, which also burnt us and lost. So I could have done better if I'd taken some bigger favorites in certain spots, but I just haven't quite pinpointed it yet. So I'm trying, but I can't see there being value in the Bunnies line. Therefore, even though I expect that they'll win and win very well, I'm going to pass it. Maybe you're braver than me and you will lay the points at the Bunnies. And good luck with that and good luck with all your punts this week. Thanks for tuning in. As always, sorry this episode ended up a bit longer than I thought, but very in-depth breakdown of the way I see all matches for round 16. It's exciting to have our NRL footy back, and it all starts tomorrow. Enjoy the footy. As always, gamble responsibly and Lego.